Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Youth Hoops Pod presented by Pro Skills Basketball. Today, we're coming at you guys with a conversation about our return to play plan around the entire COVID-19 pandemic and the effect it has had on youth basketball. So joining me today, we have three awesome guest members here. Both of our co-founders of Pro Skills Basketball are here, Logan Kosmalski and Brendan Winters. Welcome in.
What's up, Christian?
Also, PSB Denver director Ross Schrader joining in from over on the West Coast. How you doing, Ross?
Not too bad.
Good to have you guys here today. So yeah, we're joined here on this conversation again to talk about our return to play plan, which we created as our way of attacking COVID-19 and the effect it has had on not only youth basketball, but all of sports and our life. So maybe we should jump into the conversation here today with where exactly in your eyes or the conversations you guys have had, where is the state of youth basketball today? Maybe we'll throw it over to Logan to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Christian, that's a good question. And it's hard to give a you know, legitimate answer. It's a lot of confusion, a lot of uncertainty. It's really just kind of all over the map. And that's, you know, from the top level on down, even to the youth level. You know, you read things in the newspaper about the NBA trying to make plans to adjust their practices and somehow get games back up to playing. And they're very unsure about how they're going to make that happen. And that just filters down to people at our level. And a lot of people talking about going back to tournaments. A lot of people don't feel like they're safe doing that. So just a lot of uncertainty, a lot of questions. And that's what sort of led us to, if we're not going to get leadership and guidance from those above us, we're going to have to sort of take matters into our own hands and let our values guide us in what we think our next steps are as a youth organization.
Brendan, what about from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the same as Logan. It just seems like everyone's kind of all over the map. There's some organizations out there that want to return to play as soon as possible and don't seem to really have any sort of plan or any sort of safety precautions. And then there's some that are, you know, on the other end of the spectrum where it's, no, we're not doing anything for the rest of 2020. And, you know, it kind of the sports life as we know it has come to an end. Mm-hmm. And then there's everything in between. And then, like Logan said, from the top to the bottom with the professional leagues and stuff. I know Premier League Lacrosse or Premier Lacrosse League, I don't know what it is, PLL, like they're going to do their championships in July, but like fully quarantined and all that sort of stuff. I know the NBA is trying to decide what to do and everyone else. So it's certainly a unique time that no one's ever gone through. So yeah, a little bit of everything out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's good to have Ross on here out west. And, you know, certainly we're speaking from the perspective of the nation. But Ross, what does it kind of look like out west, more regionally speaking over there?
Yeah, obviously every place is different and every state and city is on their own guidelines with where they're at with everything. So, you know, I think we're no different than anybody else in that we're just trying to figure things out still. For me, being in a bigger city in Denver, I think we kind of hit our hot time in a sense with the virus already. And not to say that it can't continue to spike or anything like that. But, you know, I feel like in Colorado, we've taken our governor and our leadership, I think, has actually taken a lot of good steps in order to kind of help guide us through it. And everybody, not everybody is happy with it, but we're at least getting there and trying to figure it all out. But yeah, I mean, it's just trying to figure out every single city with their different restrictions, requirements, where they're at. That's always a challenge. And I think it relates obviously to what we're doing here with Youth Hoops.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's been interesting to see even such a major organization like the NBA struggle to really get a plan together on this. They're the highest level of basketball that we have, and we've seen them just not really know what steps to take. So that trickles down to youth basketball, and it's pretty clear that no one knows a clear direction to go. So as a result, we stepped up and said, hey, we're going to be leaders here, and we're going to make a plan that we think follows, you know, federal, state, every type of guideline that we can, and we're going to try to attack this in the safest and best way for our players. So let's throw it back over to Logan, man. What exactly, in your words, how can you sum up what the return to play plan is?
In our minds, it's a step-by-step sort of methodical approach to phase back in towards full live action 5-on-5 play. We don't think it's going to be, we're not going to go from locking ourselves down to, you know, strict social distancing to putting kids back on the court to play 5-on-5 games. That, in our minds, that just didn't make sense, and it was irresponsible and it was a little bit dangerous. So we decided, but on the flip side of that is we did want to get kids back on the court. We know we can't hide in our shells for forever. So our first step will be in phase one to sort of get small groups together on a court, really limit the size, really limit the, you know, number of people that are in contact with the kids. The kids don't play any, there's no live action basketball, there's no defense, there's no guarding. It's strictly skill development work in a spaced out setting where kids are not sharing basketballs and they're not sharing equipment. And a lot of it is going to take place outdoors as well. So that's another layer of protection to being outside and keeping kids spaced and keeping our coaches wearing masks. And then we just want to build from there, depending on where we are, you know, things with this virus and the news you hear and the reports that come out, they change constantly. So we feel like this is a safe first step that we were comfortable in taking in order to get people what they wanted, because the feedback we've gotten from people is they want to get out of the house. They want to get back on the court. They want to get playing. We are trying to convince them that our strategy is the best. Let's build up to it. Follow us and we'll build up to it, as opposed to just flipping a switch and going right back to something that we don't feel is very safe.
Yeah, I'm going to throw it over to Brendan. What do you feel have been some of the major stepping stones that we've had to cross over in this return to play plan? Like, what do you feel are some of those major areas we've got to hit in order to bring basketball back?
Yeah, the first thing was we had to figure out if our parents and kids even wanted to return to play. So we sent out a poll and asking them a bunch of questions, but, you know, it was pretty much like, would you be comfortable with outdoor small group training, indoor small group training, indoor practices, you know, tournaments? And basically what we got back is 75% and even a little bit higher would be comfortable with small group training, mostly outdoor, but there was also quite a bit indoor, and they were around that 75% mark. So we decided, we realized that our parents did want to return to play. So then we had to start building out a plan. And the biggest thing in that was, okay, working through the federal, state, local guidelines, figuring out what that was, tying our plan into that, but then also making sure our safety precautions were actually safe and they were backed I guess by a medical professional and or someone that actually gave us like the okay and said, yes, that makes sense, that's safe. And so we did a ton of research. We took advice from a lot of people. We actually had a doctor oversee our plans and our precautions and worked with him on that. And And so I think those were the two biggest hurdles, were the state by state and the national and the local guidelines, and then also the safety precautions. But we were able to work through both those things.
Yeah, I think it's a tough situation to approach all in all, because it's so different in so many areas. And I know we've talked about kind of what it is and some reasons behind why we built it. But when we're looking at such a nationwide issue, Ross, I'm going to throw it over to you. How do we attack these states being different in each area and the different rules and regulations? Like, how does our plan, for any listeners out there, how is it attacking each state, each city, as they're different in their guidelines and how they want to return?
Sure, that's a great question. I mean, you have to take into account that every place is going to be a little bit different, but I think there's some overarching principles that we've all understood over the last couple months going through this that we all should adhere to regardless of what our local guidelines are just yet. And, you know, social distancing, we're all getting used to that, or, you know, if it's wearing a mask or to help limit the spread, things like that. I think those are things that regardless of how many people you can have together or what's open in certain cities, like in one city, a gym might be open, but in another city, it might not be. But I think those overarching health categories and principles can be applied wherever. And I think we have to do that in order to be safe, just because it's part of us getting through this as a society as well. And it's, you know, I know there's so many differences in the country now of accepting certain things and not wanting to do certain things. But if there are those three or four things that social distancing helps, hey, wearing a mask here and there, it helps. Then, you know, the way I look at it is it's a social responsibility amongst all of us to try to take some of those principles into our, put them into our own life and say, hey, this is going to help get us through to back being a little bit more normal, a little bit quicker if we do these things. So, you know, I think there's those basic things that we can apply to every one of our cities, regardless of what their guidelines are.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if anyone's listening here today, they're probably saying, okay, you guys have created a plan. You're following federal and state guidelines. Great. But what specifically is going to keep me safe? So I'll open up this question to anyone who wants to answer. Maybe we can just jump into just a little bit deeper detail here for a couple of minutes. What exactly are some of the guidelines that we've placed in this return to play plan that we think is going to be the difference maker in keeping kids safe, but also returning, like we said, to phase one of some small group workouts? Maybe jump in a little bit over here to Ross or Logan. What exactly is going to keep these kids safe?
Sure. Well, I did all these calls with all of our parents in the last week, going over them bit by bit. So pretty well versed in it. But, you know, some of the plans that we have, and Logan and Brendan can add in anything that I forget. But, you know, the basic thing is only having six kids in the gym or in the workout, I should say. We're going to do a combination of indoors and outdoors stuff. But only having six kids in the workout, only one coach, you know, keeping parents out of the gym or keeping them away from the outdoor court. You know, we don't want to exceed those numbers that each city has been given. If it's only 10 people, you know, we don't want to have six parents in the gym also, then all of a sudden we're over that number that we're allowed to have. And so that's the first one. Kids are going to bring their own basketballs, not going to share a basketball. You know, keeping them spaced out 6 feet apart at least. Our coaches are going to wear a mask while they're coaching, not requiring the kids to do so, but at least having the coach there, that'll help limit, you know, some of the stuff that's maybe floating around out there. And then, you know, just basics of like, they got to bring their own water bottle. They shouldn't be going and hugging and interacting with kids. There'll be no live play, like we mentioned. Mm-hmm. So I think all those things will help to keep people separate. We're going to have a 15-minute window in between each workout. So, you know, it gives us time to allow those kids that were in the workout to exit safely and not have the next group there congregating in the gym. And then all of a sudden we're over that number as well.
Another big one, Ross, and just to jump in real quick, and maybe Logan can talk more about it, is like the administrative screening form that we're going to require before every workout that's hopefully going to screen some possibly sick players out. But Logan, do you want to maybe mention that?
Yeah, that was advised to us by the medical professional that read this. When, you know, and another important point that he brought up is like, nothing is 100% risk free. You know, we've designed these things to be as minimal of a risk factor as we possibly want, while trying to keep in mind what our families want. You know, some people are comfortable taking much more risk than this, but so nothing is risk free. And then going back to the waiver, to the screening, it's really going to be important that we keep documentation of who comes to a workout. And it's going to be you know, it's not feasible for us to take everybody's temperature or give everybody a virus test before they're allowed to work out. So we're going to rely on parents and on families to bring a sheet of paper with them every day, like listing off that they have not felt any symptoms, they've not been around anybody, they haven't tested positive, going through a checklist of symptoms and temperatures and things like that to keep people, to have people self-report how they feel and let us know that they're safe to join our workouts.
Yeah, and I think Ross spoke on that earlier. It's we're all coming together as society. We've got to be on the same page here. We can't do a test every time you show up. It's just not feasible. So for anyone out there listening, it's going to be a joint partnership here. We've made a plan. We've made a skeleton of how we want to approach this, but we're going to need everyone else's help just as much as we're going to need the help from our coaches to keep everything organized. Real quick, before we jump off, I think we should note as well that it's not that this plan is just fully physical return. We're combining a lot of virtual things in this plan to add on to some slow buildup physically returning. Any of you I want to open this up to, just kind of jump in on the virtual things that we're combining with our physical approach that's going to lead to eventually getting back to basketball as we knew it pre-COVID. We'll throw it over to Brendan first on the virtual combination side.
Yeah, we've gone pretty heavy into the virtual side of things, and over the last month or two, we've been able to figure some certain things out, and we've seen really good results with doing it with our kids. So we've been able to develop some new kind of platforms and programs for these virtual things. So we're doing virtual training through our new platform called PSB Plus, which does tons of guided workouts and drills and other things like that. You can check it out at psbplus.com. Our kids are going to be taking part in 2 to 3 live workouts per week, and then whatever other drills and workouts and things they want to do on their own. We've also gotten into virtual tournaments, which are a little bit hard to understand because, as far as I know, they hadn't been done before, but basically they're shooting competitions, and it pits individuals and groups of players against each other. They need access to a basket, and it's bracket style tournament, and we end up with a champion. And those have been going really, really well. Ross and Logan have taken the lead on that, and our Charlotte director, Chris Goodrum. But we've had 70 to 80 kids in each of the last 5 or 6 tournaments we've run, and we're going to run a big one on May 30th. And so anyone can sign up for that. But those are really cool because they got, you know, there's kids in Washington competing against kids from Louisiana, competing against kids from Boston and all over the place. So that's been a really cool thing. And then we're doing virtual summer camps as well, 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday. I'm going to have stations in there just through a Zoom call, but, you know, kids will get broken out into separate private rooms for stations. We'll have competitions. We'll talk, we'll do some trivia. We might have some speakers. So, we're really looking forward to those as well. And, we think the virtual stuff is not only good for now, during this whole kind of stay at home and social distance sort of stuff, but it will be good later on too. Once we return to the court, you'll still be able to have access to high level coaching where you want, when you want, how you want. You know, you can still compete in virtual tournaments or camps and things like that. So we think the virtual stuff is here to stay, and we've made a pretty heavy investment of time and energy into it, and we are looking forward to continuing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what's most exciting about this return to play plan is combining this virtual element and getting our kids together physically in small groups, but then saying, hey, we can all meet just like we used to, just virtually on these live workouts and whatnot. And I'm excited about it. Guys, let's jump into some final thoughts here real quick. Again, this is a scary time, I think, for everyone. And thinking about returning back to 5-on-5 basketball, I mean, I even think of playing pickup and just guarding a guy on a post. Like, it's going to be different for a while, putting your elbow on a guy, whatever it is, the physical contact is going to be different. But I think the plan we have created, I believe in the plan we've created, will take us that step-by-step approach to getting back to guarding that post-up man on the block. Do you guys have any final thoughts to anyone out there who's listening, who's still just maybe like, ah, I just don't know, I'm scared about it? I'll throw it over here to Logan real quick, man, just for some final thoughts. Maybe you can clear the air on anything else.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, we more than anybody want to get back to playing. We want kids to get back on the court and competing and being around each other. I think it's a huge part of social connection that kids are missing right now. Mm-hmm. I think it's you can't overstate how important that is for a young kid's development. So we want that. We just feel like it needs to be a methodical, well thought out approach. And then on the flip side is, we mentioned the virtual things, but we need to put a focus on how kids feel in all of this. How are the kids feeling, you know, mentally, being isolated away from their friends, not feeling safe at school, not feeling safe on the court. I think a young mind going through this right now, it could cause a lot of confusion, a lot of anxiety. So I think it's important that we keep the kids in mind, and we try to do our best to, as adults, make sure that they feel safe. Even if what we want is to get back on the court, I think we need to approach it thoughtfully for the sake of the kids.
Absolutely, man. And I'll throw it over to Ross and Brendan in a moment, but I think you make a great point. We're really trying to put the kids first on this. I've been behind the scenes on a lot of these conversations. It is a genuine approach to make sure these kids are safe, more than physically, mentally. We don't want to put anyone in any harm's way here. Ross, you got any final thoughts?
Just a simple thing of understanding that we're all in this together. And so I think when some people look at it as a, I can't go do this, like I'm forced to be inside, and everybody is. And so the quicker we can take that negative aspect of what's going on of being stuck inside and say, hey, we can turn this into something positive and still come together in some capacity and do it in a safe way. I think the quicker we'll all get through this, and to Logan's point, the quicker we will all change our mental capacity right now and feel a little bit better about ourselves and where we're at. So just if everybody can understand that, I think we'll make it through a lot quicker.
Absolutely, man. Brendan, you got anything?
No, I think Ross and Logan summed it up perfectly.
Awesome, man. Well, on that note, fellas, we appreciate you joining us here today. Really excited about the Return to Play plan. It is out now, so people have begun to see it and read it. We've gotten some great feedback. So we're going to start to implement it here in the coming weeks, and we're excited to see the direction that it goes. So Ross, Brendan, Logan, thank you for joining today.
Thank you, Christian.
Christian, thanks.
All right, that's the Youth Hoops Pod presented by Pro Skills Basketball. We'll see you guys soon with another conversation.